It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
It is blasphemous. It is hideous. It is very disrespectful what you have said to this man. You owe this man an apology. I want to state this for the record. That man, Max Kellerman, owes that damn Tom Brady an apology, okay? You see the weapons that this man was bereft of, that he had available to him? What do you expect of this man to do? Now, if this man had an elevated level of weapons available to him and he looked this way, I got no problems. But I don't care if it's Peyton Manning to Johnny Unitas to Brett Favre and beyond. I have never seen a quarterback throw to himself. The fact is, he doesn't have any help.
So where are you on this?
Hell no, he should retire. Hell no. This man needs to come back, and he needs to remind the world because, excuse me, Tom Brady, a lesser version than Tom Brady, is still a top 10 quarterback in the league. Do you know? Listen, I said a lesser version, not this year. I'm saying a lesser version of Tom Brady with weapons is still a top 10 quarterback in this league. Do you know that already this year, as horrible as they were, still a top 10 offense overall, still a top 10 passing attack. With that offense!
Belichick's a great coach.
Stephen A., what if Josh McDaniels leaves?
Who gives a damn? So what?
Oh, the passion. The passion. Hey, good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in here, 617-779-0985, a gigantic show today, including Tom Brady being bereft of weapons, which is something a lot of people are saying is driving me more and more insane.
Well, he didn't have great weapons.
Well, yeah, the fact that the biggest excuse was that he didn't have Rob Gronkowski, which I always thought was funny because no one else has Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I think the thing that's just colossally, like, apparent now is just how horrible the Patriots planned on life without Rob Gronkowski, how just ill-prepared they were, and there was nothing in the chute. They had no kind of drafting for a tight end that would have made it so there was a guy in the wait. I mean, they just tried to throw together scraps, and they had nothing. No plan to make up for his absence. And I think that's the most blatant thing about all of them.
I mean, they spent a lot of capital and a lot of draft capital on skill position players.
And they didn't work out.
Well, the Eagles had a deep roster of tight ends. Kansas City's got a elite tight end. And out of the other, what is the Vikings tight end situation?
Scored the game-winning touchdown, Kyle Rudolph.
Okay, Kyle Rudolph, you rank him how?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah, Rudolph's good.
Top 10.
Okay.
Not elite, but top 10.
Okay. And then so you have Kansas City's got one.
Oh, yep. Absolutely.
Then you got
maybe the best or second best possibly.
All right. So then you got the
dude from the 49ers who's excellent.
George Kittle,
who's amazing. Okay. Might be the best in the league.
What about Baltimore?
I'm trying to forget who's their tight end?
Ravens tight end.
Mike, who's the Ravens tight end again?
Mark Andrews, I'm being told.
All right. Okay, Mark Andrews. Well,
I mean, a lot of, I mean, you know, the Patriots won without an elite tight end as well. I mean, they've used a ton of draft capital to get skill position players.
However, I think there's a difference between the Patriots doing what they can to put weapons around them and whether or not those weapons are any good.
Well, that's up to a quarterback as well. I mean, a quarterback, you're only as good, your weapons are only as good as the quarterback. And by the way, preparing for life without Gronkowski, again, Gronkowski's the best tight end of all time, no matter what you did.
But they had no backup plan. None.
Well, I mean, what do you want them to do?
Draft a guy.
Well, they drafted a receiver, and they drafted a
very big receiver.
And they
a red zone threat receiver is what they drafted.
Yeah, I mean, they were
preparing. He got hurt. And didn't play for the first half of the season, and asking a rookie receiver to step in and pick up this offense and be good is really asking a lot.
I don't even know if they took a tight end in later rounds, but I mean, you could take five tight ends, you know, over the last 5 years, and none of them could work out.
I guess the question is who is great at their position on offense outside of Tom Brady on this team?
Edelman. That's it.
No. But is Edelman great in 2019? He had more drops than anyone else in the league.
He also caught how many passes? I mean, he dropped a lot, but production-wise, he was okay.
Up until the last couple of weeks, I don't know if it changed or not. He had the second most balls thrown to him,
and I think that says more about that there was no other options.
Well, there were options. I mean, Mohamed Sanu was a good player before he came here,
and wasn't a good player once he got here.
Yeah. So I mean, what happened? He didn't get hurt.
Well, I mean, he also dropped a lot of passes.
Yeah, he was worth a second-round pick until he got here.
Edelman caught 100 passes this year. That's five off his career high.
Mm-hmm.
He was good
for over 1,100 yards.
Well, they had to lean on him.
I understand that, but you said, is Edelman among the best at his position? And I would say, as a slot receiver, there aren't many that are better. I mean, that's an elite talent right there. Yeah, he had a lot of drops. But he is a good player. I mean, look, Tom Brady has never had, other than 07, an elite set of weapons to throw the football to.
That's not true. He's had Rob Gronkowski for years.
I guess what I'm saying is he has Gronkowski.
He's had Wes Welker.
You're talking about an elite set of skill position players for Brady to throw the football to. Peyton Manning all those years had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne to throw the football to. Brady, other than 07, hasn't had that complete complement, I guess is what I'm telling you. And he's still been able to succeed. I mean, I keep going back to 06 where he had nobody. He had Rashay Caldwell and made it to the AFC Championship game. I mean, he's been able to do more with less his entire career. The thing that was different this year is that maybe he finally got old. And that's what's led us to this argument. Do the Patriots ask him back for all this money? The difference over the last year or two is he's gotten older and more susceptible to injury. And Mike Giardi had a report yesterday that he was dealing with a foot injury on top of tennis elbow in his right elbow. I mean, these are the things that happen to 40-year-old men when they play a big physical sport like this.
Well, who is your Danny Amendola this year? Who is your Rob Gronkowski this year?
But Rich, Rob Gronkowski is a once-in-a-generational player.
Okay, well, then just take him away. Who is your Danny Amendola? Well, who is your reliable second guy?
N'Keal Harry and Sanu were drafted and brought in to be that guy.
There's a difference between being drafted and being that guy.
Okay.
And actually being good enough. Because you yourself said that Sonny Michel is not a good player.
Sonny Michel is not a good player.
But he's somebody that the team...
Fine, but you're saying that Mohamed Sanu was worth a second-round pick, and then he got here, and he just started to suck?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the difference?
I didn't think he was worth a second-round pick when they got him.
Well, no, he wasn't, but they thought he was. So what's the difference?
See, as I said, there's a difference between the
team... So that's on Brady.
That's not on Brady. If the player's not worth it and he's not very good, you think that putting together undependable scraps
Those
at the beginning
scraps.
Of the season...
That's a second...
Josh Gordon, scrap. Putting together Antonio Brown, who's completely undependable, that was a scrap move. That was just a desperation move.
A big number one pick receiver is not a scrap
move. Demaryius Thomas, another scrap move.
They got rid of.
It was panic moves at the beginning of the year.
N'Keal Harry was not a panic move.
He was injured.
Fine, but then he was healthy at the end of the year.
So you think N'Keal Harry is someone who immediately should have been great?
I think that a first round pick receiver.
I agree.
Should be
was
good.
He?
No, but that's not. That might not be on him. That might be on Brady.
See, there
Brady's,
is part of it that is on Brady, and that is the fact that he's
targeting him. Then that's his fault.
Well, I mean,
I don't break down all 22, but the idea that he had no weapons, that he was out there with a bag full of crap, is nonsense.
All right, who did he have last year when they won the whole thing?
Okay, so he had
Gronk. Gronk, who, as we know now, Gronk was hurt badly. And less than 50% for most of the season.
And you know what? Another one.
He only caught 47 passes and had 3 touchdown catches last year. Gronk.
James White was more dependable last year. James White is the biggest head scratcher, I think, this year of most of them. I mean, they really underutilized him. And I think
they underutalized him.
Last year, they didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver. They didn't have a receiver who caught more than 6 touchdown passes. White had 7 out of the backfield.
Yeah, they were able to spread it around.
What I'm telling you is, last year, their weapons weren't altogether spectacular either. They're better than this year, but not elite.
Okay, but it
was
better.
The difference this year, marginally so. I don't think it was that last year's team didn't have weapons that were head and shoulders better above what they have
when
now.
You have Rob Gronkowski on your team, obviously it makes you better.
Oh, Jesus,
they
Rich.
Were single covering him at the end of last year. Teams weren't scared of him.
Okay, well, who made the biggest catch in the Super Bowl?
He did.
Yes.
I understand that. But one catch, granted, Gronk
David
made a
Tyree
nice catch.
Made the best catch in a Super Bowl.
All I'm saying is, Rich, Brady won a Super Bowl with, say, receivers that ranked a 6 out of 10 last year, and he had a 4 out of 10 this year.
Who on this offense is a great player on another team other than Edelman?
Probably no one.
Exactly.
Who on and last year?
Sanu was a quality player on another team.
So much so that they traded him.
Yeah, because he was on a crap team that was going nowhere.
And they got better the minute they traded him.
Yeah, they got better the minute they traded him. Because they got a second round
pick.
They
went on a run.
Oh, well, that's because they didn't have Sanu. I mean, that's ridiculous, that argument. Come on. The idea that he had no weapons is false. He had people that I bet you if you get N'Keal Harry in another system, that I bet you could have more success.
Here's the one thing I will say that you can put on Brady, and that is, and it involves N'Keal Harry, and that is the lack of chemistry. You can almost directly point at Tom Brady for not showing up at those OTAs. He had to. And I know that the year before he got away with it and he had that time off, and I know he spent it with his family. But, man, with this whole new crew of guys that he had to start learning how to get on the same page, for him to take that time off, that's directly on Tom Brady. Now, that, I will say, is completely on him.
Well, it's not like they didn't try to surround him with talent.
They didn't do good. Getting scraps and throwing it around.
And last year, think about all the wide receivers that went through the Patriots system last year.
Yeah, last
think about
year,
all
was
of them,
scraps.
All of them who got hurt, all of those horrible receivers, guys that quit in camp. Who was the veteran wide receiver that quit in camp? Last year, not this year, but last year. You know, he was just about done when he got here. Yeah, Eric Decker. Thank you, Dan. Eric Decker.
Oh yeah,
they had him in during camp last year. I mean, you want to talk about scraps? Think about what Brady was dealing for wide receivers last year as opposed to this year. Sanu is better than anybody else they had run through here last year.
Yep, they had a number one pick, a wide receiver that they brought in here.
And I was having this argument with my friends last night. You give N'Keal Harry a healthy season, a full training camp, and have him here week one next year, I bet you he's much better.
Sure.
I mean, he got hurt in the first preseason game last year, gutted it out for a week, went on injured reserve, and in week 8 or 9, they're like, here, kid, go be good. In a new system, which, by the way, is complicated enough as it is if you're a new receiver walking in the front door. Yeah. I think N'Keal Harry's going to be good next year.
But he wasn't ready to deliver this year.
As much on Brady as anyone else.
Well, and his injury.
Well, he was healthy at the end of the year. And Brady still wouldn't get him the ball. So there you go. The bereft of talent, as if it was the worst amount of talent that's ever walked through the door, is nuts. And the idea that they didn't have Gronkowski is crazy.
Was it the worst in the playoffs?
What?
What, this year? The Patriots'
no.
weapons?
Yeah, out of all of the playoff teams, is it the worst amount of offensive weapons?
No.
Who's okay, then who's worse?
What, both, in the AFC?
Both 6 seeds. Tennessee had some guys. I mean, Tannehill didn't need
Tennessee's,
to throw.
Tennessee's weapons are amazing.
Yeah, they had the AFC Rookie of the Month.
Oh, my God. They have the best rusher in the league.
Yeah, Tannehill was really good.
Dude, Tannehill's
they also have one of the best rookies in the league.
Minnesota
I said weapons around.
Cook and Rudolph and Stephon Diggs.
Maybe better than a lot of the
Patriots.
Maybe Buffalo. I would say Buffalo, there's
Buffalo,
an argument.
Buffalo's not as good. Although Devin Singletary's really good. If Buffalo wasn't as good. It starts with the quarterback, as we all know.
Yes, Josh Allen.
Buffalo is not as good.
Okay, so there you go. There's one. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, let's get into all of the back and forth between Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, messages being sent out there, and, you know, read between the lines type of situations. Also, Brad Marchand weighs in on what he thinks about the Tom Brady situation.
That's right. All right, we will return.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, I have an 8 in over 24 hours. All right. That's the solution.
Got it.
For the stupid garbage I have. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, so after Saturday night's loss to the Titans, there was a report that our friend Mike Giardi threw out there that Julian Edelman had spoken with him about Brady playing with a potential injury. When Mike asked Edelman after the game whether he thought Brady's health had affected his performance, Julian reportedly told him, quote, "He'll never tell you that he's hurt. That's not his way. But what did your eyes tell you? That's all I'd like to ask you. What did your eyes see?" Giardi said that he thought Brady looked hurt at times, and Edelman's response was, "You've got good vision." And then yesterday, Giardi reported that in addition to the tennis elbow that bothered Tom Brady later in the season, sources told him that Brady was also dealing with a foot injury that was suffered at some point during December. Brady was listed on the Patriots' Week 14 injury report, citing a toe problem. It was the only time the team up to this point had referenced a toe injury. Now, since then, two of the most important pieces as to the future of where Brady lands last season both spoke to Peter King. First off was RKK, who stated that, quote, "Before the season started, it was very important to Tom that he be free to do whatever he wanted at the end of the year. You know what I said to myself? That any person who plays 20 years for this team and helps us get 6 Super Bowls and been really selfless has earned that right. I love the young man like he's part of my family, blood family. Anyone who's done that has earned the right to control his future after 20 years. And you know, my hope and prayer is number one, he play for the Patriots, or number two, he retires. He has the freedom to decide what he wants to do and what's in his own best personal interest." And then he added, quote, "I just hope Tom and believe Tom. So he's so special that he's earned the right to do what's best for him. I hope and pray that we fit into his plans." Now, the only thing weird about those comments is that right there, Robert Kraft seems to be saying that no matter what, Tom wanted to be a free agent this year going into negotiations. Did it sound that way to you too?
Like, there's no doubt about it because he put the no franchise tag.
Yeah. So that sounds bogus to me because I remember Tom joking around at camp when being asked about his future before that whole deal came
said,
out.
You should ask Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, well, yep. You should ask Mr. Kraft about yep. that. It sure as hell sounded like he wanted to be here and he wanted to get paid. And it sounds like Robert Kraft's trying to do a little change of history there and make it sound like, well, it's not our fault that he's leaving. You know, it's completely a Tom Brady was like, you know what? I don't really want to sign this huge deal. You're sliding my way there, Mr. Kraft. I want to be a free agent at the end of the season when that is not what happened at all.
All right. So here's I agree with you. And so here's what's going on. In my opinion, I think Brady's coming back, but that's just me. And I have why do I think that? I don't know. But I mean,
because there's really not one good reason that's been put out there.
I don't really know, you know? I think, though, that they are preparing for him not coming back. If that is the case, and Kraft's going to maneuver that it was Belichick's decision, and if you heard Belichick, he was like, you know, it's a discussion that has to be had, like, in the organization.
It's a two-way street.
That was the term he used. But also insinuating that Kraft would be involved in the decision, too. Okay, so all these executives on The Athletic talked about Tom Brady and his future, and a lot of them thought he'd come back. But the one that I found interesting was, and they give examples of players in other sports, but after a certain point in your career, and this goes to what Ted Johnson says, after a certain point in your career, you have your money and you have championships. You want to be in a situation where you can still win, but there are like life style considerations that are put into it. And just like Ted Johnson said, Gronkowski was sick of playing for Belichick. There is a belief among some scouts that Brady is sick of the culture here. And would like to move somewhere else, like, for his family. Like, that winning and finishing his career as a Patriot might not be as important to him as, you know, enjoying the last couple years of his career.
I see that. And there's also the whole part of it that if he was to come back here, I guarantee you there would have to be some sort of concession by Tom Brady that he participate in the offseason workouts. I don't think they're going to let him do what they did last time if he wants to get the kind of money that he desires.
Is that enjoying your last 2 years?
And tell him to go screw it.
I don't think that's enjoying anything.
And that's what I'm saying.
I want to be on a jet in Brazil somewhere. I think if what you say is right, Fred, that concession's not happening.
You're absolutely right. And I think that that's, in my opinion, another reason why he goes somewhere else.
I agree.
And second of all, I also think that it sounds to me like Bill Belichick just wants to move on and start something else, because I don't think he wants to pay the kind of money that Tom Brady is going to want. Because you heard Jay Glazer yesterday, Tom Brady does not want to take a hometown discount. And we had Jeff Howen here as well saying that he believes, looking at the teams that could want him, that there could be a bidding war that could get him, he said, possibly Russell Wilson money. He said 2 years, $35 million Tom Brady might be looking
and
at.
And if the New York teams get involved, if the Giants somehow get involved, it could be 3 years and $100 million. That's what he said yesterday. Now, that's not to say Brady's going to take 3 years and $100 million to go play for a team that at best will finish 8-8, but the offer will more than likely be out there if you get this team involved.
I don't know why the Giants would want Tom Brady, but there you go.
They're not a team that I'm even hearing being talked about right now.
I mean, so, this is what Jeff was saying yesterday.
But all right, so I agree. I don't think that Belichick wants to keep Brady. I think that Belichick, that Brady's like anyone else, and obviously it's diminishing returns. He's not the quarterback that he used to be, regardless of weapons and all this. Now, but the Hail Mary from the Crafts, if they just step in and they can't. Emotionally can't see him go.
They would have done it last year. That's the thing.
There's a deadline. Now it's the middle of March, and you have 2 months. And I think there will be one final offer. And whether or not it's $25 or $30 million a year remains to be seen, because there's only so much cap space. It's under $50 million. Jeff was here yesterday, and they have under $50 million of cap space next year. And they have to worry about re-signing Joe Tooney, who made under $1 million last year and is going to cash in big time this offseason. I mean, they have decisions to make. And in every other case, when faced with this kind of situation, they have let the star go.
Yeah, and then there's Brady's side. When he talked to Peter King yesterday, or actually Saturday after the game, he said, quote, "I'm not crushingly disappointed when talking about the loss." He says, "I think we fought hard. Our head is held high." What Peter King asked him what it was like to be a free agent for the first time, and Brady said, "Yeah, I think I'll explore those opportunities whenever they are. If it's the Patriots, great. If that doesn't work, I don't know. I just don't know. I love playing football. I still want to play football. I think I still can play at a championship level. I've just got to go do it. I'm motivated to get back to work and training." And as I mentioned yesterday, that is just him telling every other team, make an offer, and let's see where this brings us. I thought the most fascinating thing that was out there was the Bovada betting lines on where Tom Brady was going to go, because they have, outside of the Patriots, the number one highest odds team that Brady would go to as the Cleveland Browns. And that, to me, is fascinating. And I guarantee you it's because they think the whole package would shift.
Well, like, tell Fred the second part of that.
Okay, well, I mean, it would be Josh McDaniels, Nick Caserio, and Tom Brady all shifting together. And then, of course, your guy, Mr. Baker Mayfield, getting pawned off on another team for some sort of pick.
Pawn him off to the CFL.
And then Cleveland being Cleveland, Brady at the age of 43, like most 43-year-olds, will get hurt, and they'll have no backup plan and wind up drafting this kid Trevor Lawrence, number one, the following season.
Dude, that's going to be a good team.
Well, that would be, if they got Trevor Lawrence, they would take that every day. They'll be good. If they get Tom Brady, they got enough around them, they'll be good.
So Jeff Howe yesterday, however, said that he believes the team with the highest chance would be the Titans. He doesn't think that they're sold on Tannehill in any day, that they would try to get Tom Brady in there. And Mike Vrabel and Tom Brady, obviously, they're really good friends. He would feel comfortable in that system. On top of that, if you're an aging quarterback, what is your greatest asset? Your two greatest assets. Number one, a great offensive line, which they have. And number two, a running back that can take a majority of the load out of your hands. And my God, did you see that on Saturday night? That dude is just an absolute monster.
I was wondering how many times they would actually hand him the ball just based on just the wear and tear. I was like, because they probably wanted to give him the ball 50 times.
Yeah, and he just turned 26.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's right in the prime of running back years. He's got about two more left, which is exactly what Tom Brady has. So,
if you're Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill just had the best 10 games of his life consecutively and had the best passer rating in the NFL, you just paid Tannehill under $2 million for this season, and he's an unrestricted free agent. If you're Tennessee, you can't sign him to a four-year contract.
No.
And Marcus Mariota's out the door, so you desperately need a quarterback.
Oh, how great would it be? Brady goes to Cleveland. And then Baker Mayfield gets traded to the Patriots.
For what?
I have no idea. Just
he needs not a first-round pick.
No, it's not a first-round pick.
He needs a home.
No, sir.
Oh, if he came here, it would be the greatest.
Oh, wouldn't that be a best-case scenario?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How great would it be if, like...
A sign and trade.
Oh, and how awesome would
trade him even up.
What if Belichick made him, like, a superstar?
Oh,
like, what if Belichick made him work? Oh, my God. You want to talk about, like, the best storyline ever? Bring Baker Mayfield here and have Brady starting for Cleveland?
That's pretty good.
I guess that you'd have Mayfield here, and to go from Brady to Mayfield is going to from filet mignon to diarrhea. the hatred. Oh, Baker Mayfield, the hatred that would go on here. Oof. Oh, would people hate him? Replacing Brady?
Are you kidding me? He would be worshipped.
No, he'd be the guy who's replacing Brady, and if he talks all that...
Do you really think his personality is going to change once he got here from Cleveland?
He'd be worshipped if he won.
Even if he won, it'd be phone calls.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, if he gets here and just even tries to pull that crap, I mean, Patriots fans are going to kill him.
They'll win the division. They'll win the division,
no matter
who's the quarterback.
Because Belichick's here, yes, but it's not a given. I mean, it's going to be tough. But Buffalo's a good team.
That's better than my Brady to Pittsburgh idea. I like this one a lot.
Oh, that idea rules. You want to talk about chaos. Embrace the chaos.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Buffalo's got just an awful quarterback. All right, we'll be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
All right, let's get to a little more of the fallout on top of that. The Celtics, man, they did not look good last night.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All the future questions are the future.
Don't know about the future. That's anybody's guess.
Future.
Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed.
Future.
Buy up your pad and pencil. I give you a piece of my
mind. Less than 12 hours after the thing. I've just answered all these questions.
In my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
But the future is the future for all of them, just like it is for Tom. And
stop all your fussing.
It's as simple as that.
Slap on a smile.
Now's not the time.
Come out and walk in the sun for a while.
And just keep going if you want to.
Don't fight the feeling. You know you want to have a good time.
We could bring up 50 questions. It's gonna be the same answer 50 times.
Then. And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
Five to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. How pathetic is it when I first heard Belichick say, I don't know about the future, immediately the blossom song came into my head.
Yep.
How absolutely pathetic is that? That's the way my brain works. Immediately goes to 30-year-old TV shows.
Well, I mean, you thought of blossom. The first thing I thought was, what did Magic Johnson think about all this? Well, thank goodness I follow him on Twitter because he had a tweet after Saturday night's game that said, with New England's loss, I'm sure Tom Brady doesn't want to go out like that. He could go out with a final game like Kobe, playing great with 60 points and a win.
on a night and where everyone passed him the basketball. Kobe, take 77 shots. You're not coming back.
All the things are the same.
Exactly the same thing. You should go out throwing 1,000 passes and scoring 100 points.
That's right.
Yeah, somehow in football, they don't give you a Dirk Nowitzki where they just keep handing you the ball.
No. It's not a Pro Bowl situation where no one wants to tackle, I think, during the regular season. I mean,
Mother Nature caught up with the Celtics tonight.
they did. Mother Nature did indeed catch up with the Celtics. But, you know, everyone's got an opinion on what's happening here. But Drew Bledsoe, maybe his is somewhat informed, and he had this to say about what he thought about Tom Brady's future.
It's very well known. It's not, you know, rainbows and unicorns when you play with Belichick. It's very businesslike, but they both have huge respect for each other. They both work extremely hard at their craft. So it's been a great relationship for the two of them. But I do think there's some intrigue probably on both sides of that thing, though, that to see if they can do it without the other guy, you know, for Tommy to see if he can win without Bill, and for Bill to see if he can win without Tommy. I think there's probably some intrigue on both sides of that thing to see where the credit really lies in that situation.
I think there's no question, and I believe that's something that they've been thinking about for a while. You know, can I do it? And we've had Bert Breer in here talk about how if you ask Bill Belichick, like, what his proudest season was, you know, there was all the Super Bowl winning ones like that, but for some reason, one of the ones that he finds the most pride in was the year that he took Matt Castle to 11 wins. So, I mean, as a matter of fact, Bert tells a story about how, like, one of his assistants or somebody who worked next to Bill, like, kind of openly proclaimed that this is my proudest season after it happened. Now, since then, they've won 3 Super Bowls, but still, nonetheless, it's interesting that he can take a look back and think, you know,
still
maybe
had
I can do it with somebody
a prime
else.
Randy Moss for Castle to throw the football to. If I remember correctly.
Well, that's true.
Well, regardless, he obviously liked doing it without Brady. And like Ted Johnson said, he was right about Gronkowski. Well, I mean, it appears that it was not wrong, thinking that Gronkowski might have stuck around for another team. I think it's interesting what a couple of those executives had to say. And they were anonymous, but saying that at the end of a career, maybe, you know, you want a culture change. Maybe it's enough. And that Belichick treating Brady like all the other players, it has worn on him, and he, you know, he wants a little bit more respect.
He looked joyless this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing joyful about this season. He always seemed down. And on top of that, there was this, I mean, the entire time you're watching him play, and you got to be thinking, why would he come back to this unless they make major changes on offense, unless they commit to major roster upgrades at receiver or at running back or something that would just make it so it's not more of the same.
Well, I don't know how they could do it. Sanu's got another year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, N'Keal Harry's a rookie. Sony Michel's still on his rookie contract. I don't know really what they could do.
And you might be down your best offensive lineman.
Yes.
And Jeff Howe was sitting here thinking, well, if Tooney goes, then you kick Isaiah Wynn inside, where he also played guard, and he was very good at it in college,
yeah,
an all-ACC player. But then you're stuck at tackle, both tackles. Marcus Cannon was horrible this year and was hurt for most of it.
Right, and so, with your cap space, and then you don't have a second-round pick, and so with your cap space, and if you re-sign Brady, there's not going to be a lot of upgrade.
All right, so let's walk it back through to where we started the program. You said you thought Brady, when we started the show, you said you thought Brady would be back next year. And when you posed the question why, you had no idea. But now that we've talked about this for 45 minutes, do you still agree
I just think that Kraft is going to, that it's all logic will go out the window. And, you know, Kraft might have a few drinks one night and just call Tom and go, okay, please come back. I mean, it just seems like the Kraft really wouldn't want him to leave.
Outside of that, I think you're right. I think there will be one more big offer before the deadline in mid-March. But ultimately, for the betterment of the team, and this is Belichick's argument every day, I would imagine, to the owner, in order to continue a sustainable model where your team is good year after year after year, do you have Tom Brady back next year?
No.
And I agree with that.
And by the way, Mike Lockhart sent me something yesterday, he probably sent to all of you, is when Stedham was drafted, they said that the offense at Auburn wasn't suited to his strengths, and that when he was participating in some elite quarterback camp. They believed he threw the best ball out of everyone.
All the reports when Brady was unable to practice, Stidham stepped in and was great. Whatever the case may be, the reports have been positive from the limited amount of time he's run with the ones at practice. Take
plus
that for what it's worth.
And then also, if you want to go, does it pay to keep Brady? That secondary is very old, so you're going to have to make moves there. I believe they were the oldest roster in the NFL.
No, that's true.
So, I mean, you're going to have to turn a bunch of stuff over. So, obviously, if you're Belichick, I don't want to bring Brady back.
Well, you've seen Belichick do it before. I mean, right when this show first started a decade ago, they were in the process of revamping that entire defense. All the Brewskis and Colvins and, you know, all of these guys were leaving and they were bringing in young guys and the Patriots paid for it. They were still winning, but they weren't a championship
threat. Yeah, but I think that even if you, even without Brady, they're winning that division for the foreseeable future. So we'll see. I just think that I think it's going to be completely emotional and it's going to be the Kraft's pleading to Tom to please come back. That this, and then Belichick has made it clear that it's not entirely his decision. So this is going to be different. All right, Rich, what are we going
to
talk about?
Let's get to those Celtics right after this.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, you guys said that if the Patriots sign him back, let's say they give him 3 out of 100, right? They're going to tell him that you got to come in the offseason. I'm pretty sure any team is going to tell him that after the way he looked after these last season.
No.
Well, first of all, the Patriots would never give him 3 out of 100. I mean,
they wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Matter of fact, the Patriots, you got to think that if they weren't willing to offer him, which apparently what he wanted last year was...
might not get 3 out of 50 for the Patriots.
I don't think he gets 3.
No.
Let's start there.
The Patriots will never give him 3. I think that what he wanted last year was he wanted the Drew Brees deal, which was 2 for $50. And I think that he didn't get that. I think that it was a situation where they scoffed. The first year, they obviously were probably going to give him money, and the second year was going to be extremely contingent on bonuses and things that he had to meet. And he's like, I'm Tom Brady. I just won you a Super Bowl. I don't want to play that game anymore. And so that's when I think he got pissed and said, oh, well, I want to become a free agent. Despite what Robert Kraft says now, that it was that was the plan the entire time, which I don't believe for a second. But no. I mean, what Jeff Howe said yesterday was that the way Tom Brady's going to be courted, there is a chance that he could make up to $35 million a year guaranteed. He is saying that realistically, he could see a 2-year, $70 million offer from a team that wants to bring him in.
And I don't think that there's any way that anyone would make him go to OTAs.
Except for the Patriots.
I don't think the Patriots would do that.
Man, I just got a strange feeling that after the way things went, it would kind of be a, hey, man, would you mind coming this time?
They might say, would you mind coming, but they're not going to put it in a contract that he's got to go to OTAs. That's so counterintuitive of what he wants. I mean, imagine if they all agreed to the deal and then what was the sticking point was OTAs. If I was the Kraft, I would not start pushing.
Well, once again, I don't think the Krafts are going to come to him with the kind of money that Tom Brady wants. If he's not willing to take a discount, as has been reported, and I think that he truly thinks that I have done everything for you guys. I've taken pay cut after pay cut after pay cut. It's time to finally get paid. And I have no reason to believe that he would come back here. So I don't even think that's a conversation that's going to happen. The, hey, we'll give you this money, but you got to come to OTAs. But if I'm Bill Belichick, I mean, as I said, it's just more reason for me to go, I don't know if I want to move on and commit to a guy who isn't willing to commit to building some sort of chemistry with our new receivers.
I don't think it's up to any of this is up to Belichick. This is a Kraft decision.
See, I think last year, the Kraft decided. Whose team are you on? Are you on Team Belichick? Are you on Team Brady? And I think they wisely chose Team Belichick because of shelf life.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't hear anything about Belichick. I mean, Belichick's not going anywhere.
No. I mean, I think that he didn't want to give Brady that 2-year contract. I think Belichick said, I don't think that's a wise move. And I believe that the Krafts listened to Belichick And that's one of the reasons that they dug their feet in and they didn't give Brady the money he wanted. I think that's completely because Bill Belichick had advised them that that is a bad football decision. And I believe that they had to make a decision. Do I want to give Brady his money and piss off Belichick, or do I want to do what Belichick wants and piss off Brady? And as much as it sucks, they made the right decision, and they chose Belichick.
And they knew this was coming. Once they made that deal last year, they knew a day like this was going to come, or a situation like this was going to happen. Let it ride. Let's see how he looks this year. We can always come to him during the season and give him an extension for the money he wants. And obviously what they saw this year was an older quarterback who got hurt, who didn't perform as well as they had hoped. Otherwise, it would have come to him sooner. And so here we are.
Pete, billionaires make emotional decisions, and they have the money to do it.
Yep.
So I don't know.
But they also pay guys like Belichick to be the smart football people, so they don't do that.
But that's the thing. It's split right down the middle. You do have the emotional side, and then you have Bill Belichick saying, let's get serious. Our money is needed for that offensive lineman. Our money is needed for another a tight end who can do something. Our money is needed for other things. And it's going to suck next year without your guy.
I agree. But Belichick, the best thing for the Patriots is if Brady's not on the team. The only thing is
Or if he signs a one-year deal.
Which isn't going to happen.
No.
Because
ideally, he would come and play for 1 year while they try to figure out some way to have, a backup learn behind him. I mean, Stidham's it doesn't seem like he's ready to go.
Jamal Adams would agree. Pick six, baby. Remember?
Yep. Oh, baby.
That's right.
He wants to get paid. He wants a lot of money right now. He wants to be the highest paid safety in the history of football.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yes, he does.
All right.
But to me, again, it would be just an entirely emotional decision, and it would go over the head of Belichick, because I believe Belichick doesn't want that, because Belichick is a reasonable person, and I would not want to commit that kind of money to Tom Brady over the course of a couple years, because it completely you're hamstrung, and you don't have enough picks to kind of fix the problems that you need, and it completely eliminates your ability to re-sign some of these guys that you might want to, or explore people in free agency. So
now you're in a situation where you have the 23rd pick, and you're going to have to trade down to get that two you lost by trading for Mohamed Sanu.
Unless you fall in love with someone who, the 23rd pick, so luxurious for them.
Mm.
I mean, this is kicking the tires on a new car.
I know. Haven't been this high in how long?
It's been a while. It's been almost a decade.
Yeah.
Right? Those AFC championship games in a row.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yep. This is going to be just a cascade of, look at this. I don't have to take Sony Michel. All right. We will have the headlines. Rich, what do you want to talk about?
You know what? Let's get to some of the activities that expatriates are involved in right now.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's do that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.